This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Darshan Johan and I'm joined in the studio by Julia Jacobs and Lim Soo Ann. So we've got one story for you today. 2020 has tested everyone beyond their capacities. Working parents in particular are begging for respite. So we will be looking at the challenges faced by working parents and how employers can support them, especially with the burdens brought about by the pandemic.
That's right. And over on Twitter, we're asking you, what has been your biggest challenge with being a working parent during this pandemic? So you can, comment on our Twitter question at BFM Radio. You can tweet us your thoughts, or you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and share, what 2020 has been like for you.
Yes, I think if it was me, this show would go on for like 2 hours just going through the challenges. But, if you visit any family home, almost anywhere around the world right now, you'll have to brace yourself. It'll be like entering a disaster zone. There'll be toys strewn everywhere. There's laundry piled up. There's dishes in the kitchen sink. And there will probably be a school-age kid at the corner of some dining table somewhere, not really paying attention to the online class that's going on. And, it's no wonder, since the younger sibling is probably causing mayhem nearby. And in the center of that hurricane, parents, of course, who are at the end of their rope, either trying to juggle work or household chores. And this is how the horror movie titled I'm a Working Parent in 2020 begins. Sadly, though, of course, it is not a movie. And this is the reality for almost all parents struggling during this pandemic. Some households bear an even greater burden due to financial problems and additional challenges like illness or, even being a single parent.
And I remember, in her monthly show on Health and Living last month, we had consultant developmental pediatrician Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan on, and she told us that she has seen parents breaking down in her clinic because they simply couldn't cope with caring for children and having to put in 110% of effort into work at the same time. And of course, the situation is even more challenging if you have children with special needs.
Yeah, and working parents were already struggling even before COVID-19 hit, right? But, many parents have said that there's no such thing as work-life balance. Instead, the demands of work are simply added onto your already teetering platter of parental responsibilities, and you're expected to deliver on all fronts without once dropping your load. So having to rush out of work to deal with an emergency at school?
Check.
Begging your boss to let you skip a meeting because your kid is sick?
Check.
Feeling guilty that you're too tired to spend quality time with your kids after work?
No, definitely check.
Yeah, so it looks like you've got 99 problems, and here's one more, and it's a whopper. So a global pandemic that saw schools and daycares shutting their doors, people being forced to work from home, and some even losing their jobs.
Yeah, and on top of adding to that towering platter of responsibilities we described earlier, the pandemic has also exposed the inequalities in society that disproportionately affect mothers and female caregivers. So in a blog post as part of UNDP Malaysia's Kisah series, UNDP and the Women's Aid Organisation pointed out four major issues related to caregiving and women's roles during this pandemic. So the first one being that on average, women in Malaysia spend more hours than men on unpaid care and domestic work. So Kazana Research Institute carried out a small study among about 125 people in Kuala Lumpur, and they found that on average, women are putting in 1.4 hours more unpaid homemaking work per day compared to men.
Yeah, our care sector, which provides childcare, early childhood education, palliative and elderly care, is still largely informal and relies heavily on female caregivers. And it's never been subjected to as much strain as it has this year.
Yeah, and it was also highlighted that an unprecedented number of working age adults are exiting the workforce because of the pandemic. And most of them have cited housework or family as the primary motivation. Because women are the primary caregivers in our society, they are the ones forced to give up paid employment. And lastly, younger women in Malaysia are increasingly opting for less secure but more flexible work like self-employment. This allows them to cope with the double burden of unpaid caregiving and paid work. But it also means that they sacrifice the social protection that comes with traditional employment.
Yeah, so following these issues that they highlighted, the UNDP and WAO made several recommendations to improve the working experience of households in Malaysia, but especially to address the care crisis that we are facing now. So one of the key recommendations is to put in place public policies such as tax incentives, subsidies, and this is to grow the formal social care sector. So it's critical that we make public investments in the formal care economy because this can reduce the burden of unpaid domestic care work.
Yes, and we really also need to change employment practices so that workplaces can be more accommodating towards parents' challenges and needs. But what kind of workplace practices would actually help parents? So let's find out from Sia Lucien, who is from the parenting portal Makcik.com, who's on the line right now. Hi, Lucien. Thanks for speaking to us. So I understand that Makcik carried out a survey among about 130 working parents to look at what they want. Why did you want to look deeper into this particular issue?
Well, Makcik, as you know, is an online parenting platform. So with 70% of our readership being working parents, we kept hearing about how they had such a struggle with work-life balance, trying to juggle going to work and also managing their families. So we decided to survey our working parents. So we got 133 mothers and fathers who responded in September to October of this year to our questions, and they represented a mix of ethnicities and they came from different job levels, but mostly managers and professionals, I would say, and from 8 different industries, so quite a mix. We wanted to find out what their challenges were and also discover what organizations can do to support their employees with families.
And, you know, traditionally, parents are expected to check their domestic challenges at the door when they clock into work and to keep their personal lives completely separate. How has this changed today and why is it important for workplaces to take parents' needs into account?
So there are now more families who have both parents working. If they don't have the support of extended family or helpers to take care of their children, then they are the ones who are going to be going out, sending their children and picking them up from daycare or schools. Workplaces recognize this and they know that flexible work practices have supported these parents and allow them to retain them as employees, because there have been studies shown that work-life practices is the top reason why employees remain with the company. You hear a lot about parents who drop out of work, mostly mothers, so that they can take care of their children, right? So companies who want to retain this talent or attract back women who have left the workforce to come back after a career break, taking care of their kids or maybe aged family members, they want to open the door and retain, attract them back as quality talent because they have a lot to offer as well.
Okay, let's look at some of the main findings from your survey. What did parents struggle with the most this year?
The key findings, there will be three. Firstly, flexibility in working hours and location. Secondly, quality and nearby daycare. And thirdly, trust and support from their colleagues. So firstly, flexibility in working hours and location. The report found that 66% of parents wanted flexibility in their working hours. This was the most important requirement by far. As I mentioned, mostly this is likely so that they can pick up and drop off their children from their daycare or schools or childminders. Parents also wanted to telecommute when necessary. For example, if their kid was sick and they wanted to stay at home, they could just work from home. Of course, now with the movement control order, this is a reality for a lot of parents, which brings with it its own set of challenges. Parents really struggle with there being no boundaries between home and work life. Bosses felt that they could assign work 24/7, and children who were stuck at home thought they deserved their parents' undivided attention, as you know. So distractions from having to manage kids' online learning, cooking, cleaning, this all made working during the pandemic at home such a challenge. 72% complained that they felt overloaded with responsibilities at home and at work. Secondly, quality and nearby daycare. Accessible and affordable childcare was also very important for our parents, especially those who are not able to work from home. In fact, 65% of parents said that they lacked childcare, which was necessary for them to meet their career goals. 43% hoped for in-house daycare or creche services at their employer's site, while 34% wanted subsidies and daycare subsidies and benefits, which would make quality daycare affordable. Malaysian mothers and fathers also viewed extended maternity leave, family care leave, and paternity leave as within the top five wanted work-life initiatives. This is so that they can give their children the best start in life. Thirdly, trust and support from colleagues. When it comes to the implementation of a company's family-friendly practices, the respondents agreed that the most important company culture factors were trust from management in exercising these practices and also empathy from colleagues. Some respondents complained that even though they were entitled to paid time off, their bosses did not approve it. Conversely, crossover colleagues who were willing to help to swap tasks or to take over when necessary made their dual roles as parents and workers successful. One parent even praised her boss, saying that he really understands that you only have one family.
Right. So to sum up, the three main things parents want are flexibility in working hours and location, accessible childcare facilities, as well as trust and support from employers. Now, if employers were to implement these, what would it look like from a practical working perspective? Understand that Mark Chick has produced a toolkit for companies. Perhaps you can cite examples from that.
With flexible work arrangements like adjustable daily working hours and working from home, it's important to have clear guidelines on criteria, usage, and also how performance will be reviewed. So that is important. So everybody is on the same page with that. Working remotely can also be enabled through collaborative tools, connectivity, online productivity training, and allowances or equipment to allow them to set up an ergonomic home office. Employers can provide childcare resources through financial subsidies or an on-site childcare center, which can help to reduce absenteeism. And when it comes to trust and support from employers, empower and reward leaders who champion these flexible work arrangements for their team members with the aim of talent retention, diversity, and inclusion. They can also train their managers and co-workers to respect boundaries. So when their colleagues are not working on leave or during non-working hours, not to assign work, two-way communication on deadlines and deliverables is critical. So more tips. There are many more tips that we've listed in our toolkit, and you can find it at markchic.com, M-A-K-C-H-I-C.com.
Lucien, you also listed 10 companies and 4 small enterprises that have successfully implemented family-friendly policies. Can you highlight just one or two of the most innovative or inspiring practices by these companies?
Yeah, we were really blown away by some of these companies' practices. PwC, for example, they have 90 days maternity leave and 30 days paternity leave. And this can be utilized throughout the newborn's first year. So therefore, they can, you know, do like a tag team. So maybe the mom would take 2 months here and then another 1 month later on, the dad takes over in the meantime. So that was really great. They even have expenses which are claimable on baby gear, fertility treatment, childcare, elder care. And they even provide short-term daycare. So for example, if you are in Selangor and your daycare is closed on Selangor, they will actually arrange for daycare in around the headquarters so that you just bring them in and then they will shuttle them to the nearest one. So things like this really help parents that they don't have to worry, oh, you know, I won't be able to do my work because I have to go and arrange for alternate arrangements for childminding. We also love how they support their employees at different parenting stages. They call this, I think, parent mentors. through peer networks. They also bring in experts for talks and other mentoring programs. Transitioning support is also provided for parents coming back to work under their career comeback program. So, for example, mothers who are returning to work after a career break, they provide them with the the required experience and exposure, and then gradually transition them back into the workforce. Benefits during the pandemic were also expanded to include ergonomic tools to support remote working, mindfulness and fitness apps, and they even gave digital streaming sites like Netflix some allowance to subscribe to that. Quite amazing.
So how about an example from a smaller company which probably has fewer resources compared to a large corporation, right?
Yeah, definitely some of the smaller ones struggle. Even though there are some grants available for SMEs to help digitalize and modernize to allow working from home. But if that's not allowed, I think the companies which are smaller can really help in terms of allowing their staff to work from home gradually. And also, there's a lot of communication. So one of the survey respondents mentioned that she had a baby during the pandemic, but she was not rushed to come back to work. Her boss was very understanding and asked her, you know, when you're ready, let me know. In the meantime, I'm going to get your colleague to cover for you, and we can talk to the clients together to talk about when there will be a gradual handover. So just understanding in that sense and allowing them to work at their own pace. I think that's what the smaller companies can do to be able to support their parents.
And the government has been rolling out various initiatives to help working adults, businesses and households cope with the economic impact of COVID-19. Was there enough support for working parents?
I think as there was indirect government support. As I mentioned, that some smaller companies could apply for grants, and there was also financing for companies to provide work from home options during the pandemic. But a lot of smaller companies especially were not able to afford to give allowances for all these things and provide equipment and tools. So in fact, 21% of the comments we received were that they were not supported by their employers and in fact had more work because they had to do extra reporting due to COVID. And also they had pay cuts or, you know, were not given the normal remuneration, and allowances. So that was quite sad. And we heard from some semi-skilled on healthcare workers, doctors, etc. They said there's no such thing as working from home for them. They have to go in, they're frontliners. And they really wish for childcare services. So we are quite hopeful because we saw in Budget 2021 that the government has allocated the 30 million to build in-house childcare services in government buildings like hospitals. And a matching grant of 20 million is going to be given to private sector employers to do the same. So we hope that this will really ease the burden on the healthcare and the frontliners. Yeah.
Yes, that budget allocation has been a long time coming. So Lucien, you know, 2021 is still going to be a really tough year for everyone. What's your message to employers and working parents?
With our current high numbers and no confirmed end in sight for COVID-19, I agree that it's likely parents are going to be at home juggling work, learning from home, child minding and household chores. My message to employers would be to reach out to your employees, ask them, you know, do have regular check-ins, see what they need, how they can help in any way, not necessarily monetarily if they can't afford it, but in saying, okay, you know, maybe this deadline can be a little bit relaxed or maybe somebody else can cover that while you do this and then vice versa. So I think those type of flexibilities will go a long way, and hearing out your employees' challenges will also make them feel more valued. for the working parents out there, I would say ask for help. Ask for help from your employer, your colleagues, your spouse, your family, friends. You know, we're all in this together. Everybody is really struggling to handle everything at the same time. If you have been told 1 year ago that you'll be managing all this at home, I think you would not have believed it. So you've got it so far and you can definitely do this.
Yes, we could all use some of that hope and encouragement to keep us going. Thanks so much, Lucien. That was Xia Lucien, the Special Projects Coordinator from Akshik, talking to us about what working parents want. And I mean, of course, the list is infinite, really, right? But that survey really does seem to capture, you know, most of the important issues. Yeah.
Yeah. And Juliet, you're a mom, so maybe you can...
Don't hide that fact much, too, I guess.
Maybe you can, you know, shed some light on what has helped you get through the challenges and the struggles of the pandemic.
Yeah, it's been really hard, you know. And I guess what has helped me is, you know, what Lucien said, you know, knowing that I'm not the only one going through these challenges. Mm. So that kind of helps me feel a little less hopeless all the time. I'm like, okay, I'm struggling, but so are a lot of people. So everybody's kind of in this together. So exactly what she said. But I think what's helped the most is having a very understanding team and very understanding supervisors as well. And just a whole a work environment that knows that these are the sorts of challenges you're facing. And, you know, even if you can't get work done in a certain time, they know that it will get done, right? And there's that trust that's placed in you. Yeah, so I guess just everybody kind of knowing we're all in this together, that has really helped for me.
Mm. And I think it's, I guess, you know, from the perspective of us, right, who don't have these home responsibilities, we can see like the struggles that you, for example, or Shawik have to go through, right? Because when you go home, the work doesn't end there. Whereas for us, you know, sometimes going home is like, okay, work is done, we can relax, we can watch some TV or do something. But we've heard enough stories from around the office that I feel like it's only fair to also just understand where your colleagues are coming from, right? Especially if they're working parents, because now your kids have to study from home, you have to manage their education as well, you have to manage household chores, you have to complete your work on top of that. Oh my God, I feel so like anxious just listing down all these things.
Yeah. I forgot to say something. Yes. Something else that's helped me through, you guys letting me vent all the time.
Yeah, I agree with Suwen that I find it fair too, because there is this argument that, you know, people say that, oh, but you know, what about the people that are not parents, you know? So are certain policies or certain accommodations made for parents, is it fair? But to me, as a non-parent, I think it is fair, because I think what's most important is is the productivity, right? At the end, that's what you want. So if you can help certain people, whether it's maternity leaves, whether it's duvet leaves for mental health, and in this case, you know, helping parents and all, as long as it helps them get the, you know, be more productive. And if, what's the point if you don't, you know, provide these accommodations, but, you know, they're coming into office very tired, very exhausted. And so, if you do that, the work isn't going to get done and not done well, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And, oh yeah, Julia, you brought up trust and support from supervisors, right? What exactly does trust look like?
I guess for me, it's simple things like, you know, when I do need to ask for time off, you know, there's no one bats an eyelid. They understand that if I'm asking for it, there's definitely a legitimate reason for it. You know, there's no like, oh, she's just going to go and like watch a movie. No, obviously not, right? You know, there's that trust in there, you know, knowing, and also knowing that even if I'm going to take that time off, or if I need these special allocations that maybe not everyone is given, that I will do my work, that I will get it done. And also, I suppose, not taking away responsibilities from me as well, you know, that's also another form of trust. Like, I know you will do this in maybe not in the fastest time as somebody else who doesn't have children, but I know that you'll get it done. So there's still that trust that you are the right person for that job and that you will get it done. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's also knowing that, you know, if there comes a point that you feel like you can't complete that task, that, you know, whereas for us, you know, there's that feeling that you can ask for help. Mm-hmm. There's never that pressure like, oh my God, if that task was assigned to you, you have to do it alone. Yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, it's only fair that we support you as well, like, or any other parents, even though we don't have children, because it's, when you are at work, it's sort of a reciprocal relationship, right? It's not, you're not doing work in silos. Yeah. It's give and take. So we help you now, you know, who knows, in the future, we might need a helping hand as well.
Yeah. And I agree. I think that support is very important, because even it's not just to parents, right? I think what I like about this team is that we know that, okay, everyone knows what they have to do and they're going to do it. But if, let's say, certain, you know, there are moments where someone is, you know, panicking, anxious, they have something, there's a lot on their plate, you know, people are willing to step in and say, you know, like, okay, I'll take it on this time. I'll help you out. Next time you can help me out. Mm. And I think having that understanding is very important.
Yeah. And I just want to say that, yes, okay, you know, parents, of course, have struggles, but also to say that, you know, I think we understand that, again, everybody is going, it's been such a tough year for everyone, you know, so just understanding everyone's going through something, we just need to help each other out, really.
Yeah.
And we have a comment on Twitter from Farid Noor, who said that working from home is not for everyone, especially those who live in a small house without a dedicated room to do your work. And I think especially for working parents, facing must not be easy at all, because you probably have, you know, you have to juggle your kids, you have to juggle working from home and a different environment, and then you probably have your kids hounding you as well.
Oh my God, they find me every time. I remember once there was a meeting, I needed to have a meeting and there was no available room in my house. I had to go and find like this quiet corner somewhere and just sit there, and like, and I could hear the kids coming and knocking on the door and saying, "Mommy, let me in," you know. It's a struggle. It's a struggle, but you know, you're grateful for everything you have at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's been, as Julia just mentioned, it's been a tough year for everyone. So, you know, let's help each other out and see, and hopefully that will make things easier for all of us.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. You can continue sharing your thoughts with us by tweeting us at BFM Radio. Alternatively, you can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. If you would like to get in touch with the Bigger Picture gang, you can find us on Facebook. We are BFM, the Bigger Picture, and you can drop us a message. If you missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast on the BFM app. You can go to bfm.my/thedailydigest. You can also find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, I will be sticking around to have a chat with Petra Gimbat, who is the secretary at the Reproductive Rights Advocacy Association of Malaysia. And we are going to be talking about why abortion services are important and necessary, and also the stigma surrounding abortion in the country. So do stick around for that. For now, we'll leave you with Somebody Help Me by Spencer Davis Group, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.